You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Cale Smith. Joining me today is Andy Comer.
How's it going?
And also joining us today, back from many months off, Spencer Cantor.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope you missed me.
And today we are going to be talking about Game of Thrones Season 7. Yes, it's been a week and a half since the season 7 finale, and judging by the internet, because I only binge watch these when it's all finished, but judging by the internet while it was going on, it was like an up and down season.
Really? I thought it was pretty solid all the way through.
I thought it was solid too. Episode 6 is a clear, like, episode where the writers were just like, fuck it, we just got to get from point A to point B. That's the one episode where I thought convenience took over brilliant writing. But other than that, it was like a really good season, this season. But I don't know, somehow the internet went from, this season's great, it's going fast, and then it's like, oh no, it's being too convenient and everyone's making stupid decisions. And I'm like, it's only episode 6. But, which makes sense because episode 6 is directed by the same director as Terminator Genesis. Interesting enough. So getting into, your thoughts, starting with you, Andy, what did you think of season 7?
It was my favorite season so far. I loved every bit of it. It was just so entertaining, you know, especially the end when the, you know, a huge theory was brought to life. The only way that it could have been better is to have the Hound Mountain fight happen. But that's still going to happen, so it's all good.
It's set up very well. It's being set up, so it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm to the point where I care more about that than I care about who's on the throne at the end.
Yeah, at this point, I don't care. It's like, I mean,
like, I just want cool stuff to happen. I don't care who gets the throne at the end. I just want the Hound Mountain to fight, and I just want dragons to, you know, fuck everything up.
I mean, I guess I don't want Cersei to win, but...
Yeah, screw her.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before we go on, this is spoiler-filled. You've had a week and a half to see every episode. Yeah. So we are going into spoilers. So Spencer, what did you think of Game of Thrones season 7?
What I thought of it was, I thought it was a really good season. I honestly thought it was better than last season. I do have gripes about episode 6. I did think it was a little fast paced. I know why they had to do it, because they had the shortened season. They had to go from point A to point Z in like an hour, 10 minutes or whatever. I did feel it was a little rushed. But honestly, I thought it was a great season, and I cannot wait for season 8. It's going to be a long year, 2 years, whatever it is.
It's about a year and a half, because it will get to season 8 eventually, but, yeah, it'll be about a year and a half from now, unfortunately. My thoughts on Game of Thrones season 7, like I said, I really liked it. Episode 6 is the weakest. But really, I loved how fast this moved, and I love how the pieces are coming together. And some people did say it's a little like fan fiction now that it's all coming together. However, it's like, it's been building to this. Like, we've been building to this for the last six seasons. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's about time everyone started coming together and started working together. People that we could never have imagined working with. Who could have ever imagined Jon Snow and the Hound and the guy who keeps, you know, coming back to life by the God of the Dead? Who would imagine these characters would be, you know, working together? It's this culmination of everything just coming together. Even episode 7, like, it kind of like wants us to be, you know, taking the moment of everyone is in this like pit together right now. Everyone, all the groups that are on the table, they're all together, and they all have a card to play. And that's what I really like about season 7 is that everything is coming together and everything is coming together. My only thing is where we left season 7, it's like, how are you going to end all of this in 6 episodes?
Well, there's each of them are going to be over 80 minutes, so it's like 6 little movies.
Oh my God. Oh God. I can already just picture, I'm sitting there and I'm like, they just done 8 episodes. It wouldn't have killed anyone. I wouldn't have, because for me, it's becoming like. But then again, your point is probably right. Like, you know, if they can probably solve each problem in one episode, that could probably in each episode, that would be interesting. And if they have 80 minutes, they could probably do it in a way that's the right ending. Probably not the satisfying ending, but the right way to go. So to get into, before we get into kind of the worst part, which is probably episode 6, and we'll probably discuss that a lot, I want to kind of get into the highlights. So I think everyone here, we did not discuss this beforehand, folks, but I think everyone can agree that episode 4 is the best episode of the season. Is it?
Which one was that?
That's the one where,
The dragons come in at the end?
Yeah, the dragons come in, and it's like the shortest episode.
Oh, that's so good.
With the cliffhanger of like Jamie in the water and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I would say that was the most suspenseful episode for sure. You didn't know what was happening, and then it had the lean in for was that the lean in for Over the Wall? With all of them up.
Yes.
Okay, because like that had me on edge, like, oh my, like I was honestly worried that like the Hound was gonna die over the wall, because like he's slower and they're like running and stuff. I was like, God damn it, he can't die.
Yeah, what I liked about episode 4 is that the characters are like finally now, like the queen is finally, the Daenerys, she's finally coming to grips with, I have to take responsibility of my own, and I have to kind of show my power. I have to show, you know, what I can do. So, you know, so everyone will kind of stand back, because really, Daenerys, she's essentially a queen who has 3 nuclear bombs. If we're going metaphorically, she has the power. She has the power. The cards are on the table. She's probably the most powerful person in Westeros right now, besides the Night King. So to have that episode where she is showing her, you know, she is showing her power, it truly, Lannisters, no doubt. Like, I guess we should have thought this would have happened, but really, who is always thinking, how do we get this to happen where the Lannisters, particularly Jaime, will see the true wrath of the dragons?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And that, like, him, like, obviously, like, they were prepared because they had the bolt with them or the spear with them to launch and shoot at it in case they did come across it. But like, to actually see it happen was pretty awesome. And then like, I was like gripping because I don't want Bronn to die and I don't want Jaime to die. And I'm like, God damn it, on this show.
That's the thing about the show, even like good and bad, you don't want to see any of these characters die. I mean, I guess you want to see Cersei die and the Night King die, but but you don't want to see Jamie die, and you don't want to see Bronn die, because these are characters that are kind of just in the middle of this, you know, of this war. They're just having to play the part.
Yeah.
Rather than have control.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, this is the first time I think they said, like, major characters, like fan favorites, have been on the opposites of each other. It's like, well, you don't want Danny to lose, and you don't want Jamie and Bronn to lose, so it's kind of like a lose-lose, but it had to come to blows at some point.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things about the final episode is the little commentaries as they were, like, all walking up to the meeting. Like, all the people that have been together previous seasons that haven't seen each other for a while, you know, coming together right before this meeting, and then they're all on opposite sides, and it's just really, that was a really cool dynamic to show.
Yeah, that is truly incredible to see it all. So, before we get into the problems, the problems with episode 6, why don't we dive into some other negatives, like, that don't involve episode 6? Because I think episode 4, I mean, I think episode, the season, I think we've talked about, like, how we really got into, like, how we got, like, a lot of stuff and it moved. So I think we have enough of the positives done. So let's start moving into the negatives. Did anyone have any negatives that were outside of episode 6?
Not really.
I'm trying to think. I guess maybe one negative I had, the first episode, I mean, it was a good episode and it was nice for the homecoming and everything, but it did something, but compared to the season, it wasn't the weakest episode. I still think that was season 6. Episode 6, but I do think that was one of the weaker ones of the bunch. Just because nothing really happened. The big homecoming at the end, that was what we were building towards, but honestly, just nothing of note really happened.
Besides the opening scene, I would agree. The opening scene is probably the best open of, like, season, with her killing all the Frey.
Mm-hmm.
That was just awesome. And you're just like, holy shit, she's back.
Okay, yeah, because I was struggling to remember what happened in season 1. Because even though I just saw it, like, Friday night, it felt like an eternity ago before I saw, you know, since I seen episode 1. So, but yeah, that's a great moment, and it's showing Arya, like, gaining more of her own, like, power and into like, you know, her own, you know, being. And so, yeah. As far as negatives are concerned, I think we have to dive into the incest. Okay. I get this idea that the writers want to be clever and they want to have kind of a cyclical idea of, you know, of that the show starts with incest and then it ends with incest. I even kind of joked on Twitter that we, when Diego, our friend Diego Crespo, talked about, like, he didn't want Daenerys and Snow to become a thing. And I kind of commented, like, Bran to come in to sneak into, to Snow of Jon and Daenerys and then accidentally be thrown out the window again. And that's how the show will bookend. We need to have, I could have made that joke, but as I'm watching this episode, it's like, it's just, I don't know. I don't feel like it's necessary to have this other than to create more unnecessary tension.
Yeah, that's all it's for, honestly. Like, the fact that they're related is important, and, like, that's a thing. But, like, they don't need to have sex and do all that kind of stuff to make it even more dramatic.
Yeah, and it also speaks to the writer's, like, depth of how to write female characters, is that whenever two people are working together and they are, like, they're going on the trope of two people working together, they must obviously fall in love with each other.
Yeah, I got you.
And it's just like, no, that's not, even if it wasn't incest, I'm like, it doesn't speak to, I guess, for Daenerys, I mean, she slept with pretty much every other person that's with her except Ian Gaines' character, the character who had to get the black stuff off of him, this
Jorah,
whatever it was called. Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, and I mean, I get it, but there's still this notion of she doesn't have to sleep with everyone. Like, that's not, that trope gets old. So for me, it wasn't just the incest as much as the character this love relationship didn't need to happen. Particularly of how, since it's happening so fast, it hasn't really developed that well over the season anyway. I mean, it was only like an episode or two ago where they still were like at odds with each other when before the season finale. So I felt like that was unnecessary. So episode 6. Andy, why don't you start with episode 6?
Episode 6 has the awesome draw of having 7 main characters over the wall. And you're just like, okay, they're going out on their own against like an entire dead army. So you assume that they're all gonna, like, majority are gonna live, but like the possibility for any of them dying is there. And once they get there, then they send the Flash to go send a Raven, and then they. Because honestly, that's just ridiculous that he could run that. Like, I know that he ran to Eastwatch and not to Castle Black, but still. Why didn't they just start at Eastwatch then? But they, it's just dumb. But anyway, so then he ran, and then all of a sudden, Ravens are super fast to get down to Dragonstone. And then dragons, obviously, are even faster than Ravens, so then they can get up there. It's all, like, over one night. And then they said, like, in the afterwards, they were talking about how they did it like twilight lighting all the time, so you don't know if it's like that night or the next morning and stuff like that, so it's like kind of mysterious on like what the timeline is. Why, so that makes sense, but it's just so that like it could be the fact that they were there overnight and it took that long. I don't know, but they know that it's there.
Spencer, what do you think?
I had the same problem too. It was a good episode, I think, up until that point where they were stuck in the ice, and then Ginger had to go run to Eastwatch, it was, right? Or Castle Black?
Yeah. He went to Eastwatch. I guess. Sure.
Yeah. So he went there, and then we cut to Daenerys, and she's riding her dragons, and she comes and saves them, and it's just like, and the lighting too is always the same. And then luckily at like towards the very end, whatever, Daenerys shows up right as they step on the ice, and they're like, ah, crap, and then it starts breaking and they feel, they see it's solid, so they start marching, and then she comes in right at the right time to save their ass.
Yeah. Another thing I have a problem with is after the Night King took out the dragon, you know, the dragon that Daenerys was on and was going to like transfer everybody with. Mm-hmm. Why didn't that dragon, that's literally like 50 feet away, just turn its head and then just blast it with fire, blast the Night King with fire, and just end it right there?
Right?
Like, that's
she could have ended the whole war.
It's like, that to me is like the dumbest part of that, because the dragon literally was like pissed off about like losing its brother, but then did nothing, you know, to, you know, and it's right there, and the Night King is standing like literally so close to the one on the ground. Why not grab the like, as soon as he throws one, grab the next one and throw it at that one that's sitting right next to him that's even bigger? It's just like, I don't know, that whole, like, there's a lot of convenience there for me.
Also, as it's, and I don't want to get nitpicky, but also in episode 4 we see that like one of the spears like it just like barely like grazes the skin on one of the dragons, and that's like with the like propeller like thing that's being shot up to the sky at like a high speed, but somehow the Night King with his spear in his hand, that's probably just made out of ice, can somehow penetrate the skin, create enough of a wound so it'll bleed out, and then it dies. What? That's how did you like? Wait a minute. How does the Night King know that there's a weak? Is there a weak spot on these dragons? Is there like a?
No, they're just saying that
open hole.
It's definitely the spear that he threw, and the fact that he's the Night King, he probably has more power. That's the way
more
I took
power
it
than a...
I thought it went through its chest and not like below its arm, below its shoulder where it got hit before. Or the other one got hit. I don't know. That's up to your interpretation, I guess.
The other thing I have against episode 6 is it shows like a time progression of them going for days on end, like in the middle to like go find them. And it's that's like a period. It's taking like a period of time. It's a montage sequence.
Yeah, it's showing it. It's however, like intercut with other scenes. Yeah.
Yeah. However, when Gendry is like ordered, go back over there and get some dragons for us. He gets there within like 2 or 3 hours to like Eastwatch and wait a minute. If they came through Castle Rock, if they came out of where Castle Rock is,
Castle Black.
Castle Black, whatever. Castle Black. How did the Leon Cunningham's character get all the way to Eastwatch?
Because they had been walking towards Eastwatch. Like, okay. You just said that they've been walking for a while, and that's why he went the other direction, because that castle was closer, so they could send a raven.
Okay. I clearly missed all of this.
When right after they fight those the White Walkers, and like they tell him to run because there's more coming, he goes a completely different direction than they do. Like, he doesn't just run ahead of them in the direction that they go. He went in a completely different direction.
Okay. All right. And then the other problem with episode 6 is it's trying to, again, like with Jon and Daenerys, as we mentioned, it's now trying to create unnecessary conflict that doesn't add to anything with Arya and Sansa, even though that gets resolved in like a twist in like the next episode.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, wait, why would these characters act like that way if they're trying to play, like, are they playing each other or?
Well, they haven't seen each other in years. Like, and they didn't really care for each other that much when they were kids anyway.
But we never get to see the moment where Sansa realizes that Littlefinger is playing both of them. And also, how does Sansa know stuff that she wasn't quite present for or got in? Like, how is she able to put the pieces together?
What pieces are you talking about?
Like, how, like, I don't, what, like, was, like, how did she know that Littlefinger poisoned her aunt's husband?
Because of Bran right next to her.
Oh, I guess. That's why this whole thing is so pointless. Bran can see everything. Why would Littlefinger risk everything if he knows that Bran can pretty much see?
I don't think that Littlefinger believes that Bran can actually see that stuff until that moment.
Yeah, I think that's because I think with the Sansa and Arya thing, I think there has to be some like suspension of disbelief. Like, you have to think that because pretty much it is obvious that they're playing Littlefinger. There's no doubt about that. That's plainly obvious. But they're just kind of building a little tension, and then they come to that moment in episode 7, which is honestly one of the best moments, like reveals ever, I think, and just the way it goes down. And you know, I think.
Hello?
I think Spencer? We just lost him.
Oh, Spencer, you cut off for a second. What did you say?
I was just saying, like, the Sansa and Arya thing, like, I didn't really have a problem. I mean, it was... Can you still hear me? Just make sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, it was plainly obvious, kind of like what they were going with, and they were playing Littlefinger, and then that the part of season's episode 7, like, when they... reveal, it's like, how do you plead Lord Baelish? And then they just bring up everything and they all just come together to take down this big enemy. So I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I loved it.
I mean, look, seeing Lord Baelish die is a great death and all, and it's fantastic.
Very satisfying.
Oh, yeah, it's satisfying. And it shows Sansa's growth, you know, as a character, in that she's now learned so much from Lord Baelish that she can now, like, trick him. And it's a great scene. However, it's like the building blocks to building that tension over, like, the last episode did not work at all. Like, because I knew, because it, not because I had been binge watching after the fact, but because I could just tell from watching the episode that's like, yeah, Lord Baelish is going to get his comeuppance. Like, I can just, this is too obvious for me of a twist. So I don't know if you guys felt that way, but I thought it was very obvious that this was all going to get resolved with Lord Baelish, you know, being either thrown in a prison cell or killed. That's just probably my thinking, but that's just the way I was thinking. So back to backing up to episode 6. This whole plan to get a White Walker, I understand the logic behind it, but it is still an extremely risky plan.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
And almost a plan that's almost worth saying, fuck it, let's not do that. That's a terrible idea. That could, the chance of this happen, of getting a White Walker and getting it over to the White Wall, is like next to nothing. And also the chance of John needing help is like the chances of him needing help from Daenerys is like 100% times 100. And it's just like, there's no good way for this. There's no way this could all work out. And while Game of Thrones does say, like, they do kill one of the dragons and a couple of, like, the people that were with Jon, however, it still feels like maybe we should have came up with a better plan. But no, these writers were like, well, we need to get from point A to point B. We need to figure out. And that's really where I have a problem with episode 6, is it feels like an episode where we just needed to get, we know where we want to be at the end of season 7, but we're still over here. We need to find a way to get to this point. And I feel like season 6 or episode 6 is just like, it's that episode where it was always going to suffer because the writers never quite knew how to get from gut.
Yeah, I get that.
And that's really how I just feel about episode 6. As far as Jon Snow is concerned, is everyone keeps questioning why is Jon Snow still our, you know, everyone still looks at him, even though almost all of his battle plans, you know, don't work. Like, I understand the thought process, but you have to understand Jon Snow is a soldier, and he was always meant to be, or not a soldier, a knight. He's always supposed to be a knight, and so his leadership, and instead of a leader, so his leadership skills is not going to be 100%, because he was not raised that way. He was raised who also was not meant to be a leader. But the problem with Jon Snow is that he's the guy that everyone is asking to for help and for any, like, you know, how to, you know, carry out plans. Like, he's the guy that can do it, even though he's not really good at it. So that's my, I don't know. So how do you guys feel about Jon Snow as a character? Like, do you think he's an idiot, or do you think my logic is sound?
I like him. I think that he's a fine leader. It's just, he obviously wasn't, like, he didn't, like, train, like, years and years to be because he was never gonna, or never supposed to be a leader like he is now. He was just supposed to be, you know, a knight in the Night's Watch. I think he's doing pretty good for what he has and what he's grown up with, so I like him.
Spencer?
Yeah, I would say, you know, he was supposed to just be a member of the Night's Watch, and just that's where he was supposed to spend all of his days. But after season 7, we found out he was supposed to be a lot more. But just everything, the way the story developed, thrust him into the role as a leader, because with the Wildlings, and then he had to deal with that at the Wall, and then he had to go deal with Ramsay. But then he had to get bailed out by his sister and
the Lord of the Vale.
Yeah, with Baelish. But yeah, I mean, I think this revelation now that he is Aegon Targaryen, and he's actually supposed to be the rightful heir to the throne. I don't think he's really going to try to go after it, because that's not really what he wants. Like, Dany is the one that really wants it, and I think Cersei eventually is going to die, and then maybe Dany, but they could always throw us for another swerve too. But as a leader, he's okay, but I wouldn't want him leading, like as king.
I don't think he wants to either, though.
Yeah, he has no desire to do that. He's already, like, at the end of episode 6, he pretty much proclaimed that Dany was his queen. So, yeah, he's already accepted that.
But I feel like he's the rightful heir.
Yeah, I think that being the rightful heir, like, would change some people, but I don't think it'll change him.
No, I don't. I agree with that.
I mean, I don't think he's one to abandon responsibility, but you're right in that he probably would not be the best king in terms of strategy and the way in political maneuvering that he needs to have, something that Cersei has done very well at. Speaking of Cersei, don't mess with the queen. Don't mess with mother. There's no greater wrath than the mother's wrath.
Yeah.
Don't. Wow. I mean, within 2 episodes, Daenerys's like allegiance from Dohn and her the Greyjoys were pretty much annihilated in 1 episode, and then from the Highguard or Hightower?
Highguard.
Jaime, you know, invades that and takes that out. So it's just like within Cersei's just like on top of things, even as you know she's even as we leave her in this season, she's still like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, wait for them to go beyond the wall to go fight war, and then I'm going to come up behind them and take everything. And then if they decide to fight us, we'll still have, you know, the North.
Yeah, even when they bring in the White Walker back from the wall, she's like, well, she like she says at first like she's not going to do it, but then she comes back in and is like, no, it's fine, we'll align. But then she's like, that ain't happening. Like, as soon as they do that and they go to fight the Night King, she's gonna take over the North and take everything away from them. So she's a conniving bitch. But she's smart.
I don't, it's so, like, to me, she is smart in many things, but like the fact that she's betraying them with this much on the line is just stupid beyond anything. Like, okay. That's just dumb to me, but whatever. She's gotten this far, so you can't really say that she's dumb.
I mean, I was kind of thinking about it today, and to be fair, I mean, if she now knows how to defeat the Ice Giants, like, she knows what to do, so regardless of what happens, she could still defend her keep. And even if, you know, the North completely falls, she still has enough territory to where she can basically, you know, fall back on Westeros or the King's Landing and basically set up a blockade and just hold King's Landing until all the Ice Giants are gone. However, with that said, though, the White Walkers pretty much mass produce like crazy every time they kill someone, so she would have she would be outnumbered. So
yeah,
I understand the thinking, but I think Cersei's suffering from she hasn't seen the full power. She knows these exist, but she has not seen the full power of the White Walker and how just overwhelming they are. Even, you know, towards the... And this is the reason why I'll give Episode 6 some credit, is that Episode 6 still shows that Jon Snow, even with Jon Snow and Daenerys' dragons, they're still woefully outnumbered in terms of, like, not only soldiers, but in terms of the, you know, the skill level they need in order to defeat the White Walkers. So that's... And so, yeah, Cersei is making a dumb decision, but I can understand her logic in doing this. But oh well. Oh well. Who needs the Lannisters anyway?
Oh, we need Jaime.
I hear they're not great.
Oh, what? Yeah, Jaime and Tyrion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hear the Lannisters, they're not really good people to hang around. They throw weddings, and it never goes well.
Yeah, if a Lannister invites you to a wedding, don't go.
Yeah, I hear their weddings are not that fun. Lots of weird things happen. Anyway, so now that we're at the end of Episode 7 with basically the White Walkers have destroyed the wall. They've basically just brought it down.
Yeah, brought it down with the blue-eyed white dragon.
Yep.
They're now about and they're now about to hit Castle Black. I don't want to say predictions, but what do we hope to see in season 8?
Keep in mind, there's
only 6 episodes yet.
Six episodes left. The Greyjoys coming back. The Hound Mountain fight, obviously.
Oh yeah, that has to happen.
Has to. If that doesn't happen, then I don't know what this whole thing is for. And then, you know, a lot of dragons killing a lot of White Walkers.
You know what would be really interesting, though? Or I think it would be funny. What if there is a fight between the Hound and the Mountain, but like a minute in, Tyrion just comes in and just puts a sword up the Mountain's chest? And it's like, oh, I finally killed the Mountain. I could have killed the Mountain... when I was going to go up against him.
No, that won't happen.
I don't know. That was just an interesting... That was like just a thought that just popped into my head.
No, Oberyn needs to come back and just be a ghost of the White Walker and kill. He can kill the Mountain.
I think he got burned.
Yeah, we know.
Or,
well, he got his head crushed in.
Yeah, he would just... if he was a White Walker, he'd just be like tumbling around with like... parts of his skull just hanging out. Just be real, maybe blind. He wouldn't be able to see anything. But yeah, there's 6 episodes left, and we kind of, I almost want to say we kind of know where things are going to go. But then again, Game of Thrones is known for like going against expectations. So it's interesting. It's kind of hard to predict because it's like, where do we go? There will be a battle at Winterfell, like a final battle. That will probably happen, but
that'd be cool if it was at Winterfell, because like obviously they're past the wall, so it won't be at the wall at all.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just want a good season that wraps everything up, and even if it's not the most satisfying ending, I'd rather take it. I want it to be the right ending. And it's hard to, and it's really hard to land that right ending on anything. So I have no, I would not want to be Benioff and Weiss right now. Do we have any more final thoughts on, do you guys have any more thoughts on Game of Thrones currently?
No.
Spencer?
I would just say, I know we didn't really talk much about season 8, but I just hope, because like you're saying, you want the satisfying ending versus the right ending. You're not going to satisfy everyone, but I do hope that they wrap it up with the right ending, because you only have 6 episodes. They are 80 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever they end up being. But I just hope, because they got to wrap up the storyline with the Night King, the White Walkers, Cersei in the throne, and then you still have the Greyjoys with Theon having to rescue his sister. And then we got to find out, honestly, we forgot the thing at the end with Tyrion just watching Dany and Jon with that look, like, what's going on with that? So there's maybe that thread too. And then Jaime, like, I think, I know they have more time with the episodes, but I just hope that with these six episodes, they can wrap up storylines and not leave, like, too many plot holes.
Agreed. So, Game of Thrones, it's been a fun few weeks, or for me, a fun couple days. I guess we'll check you out in March, because apparently they're not going to be done filming season 8 till August of 2018. But we've heard. Have fun, everyone, like, waiting a year and a half for season.
It's going to suck.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of Marvel and DC stuff coming up.
At least we have Westworld, said an HBO executive.
At least I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, you got to check it out. It's wonderful. Wonderful. It's not as twisty and turvy, curvy as...
Twisty and curvy?
Twisty or turny, whatever the phrase is, as Game of Thrones, but it's a really fun show. I think we've talked about Game of Thrones season 7 enough. We were quick and we were in and out, guys.
Yep.
All right. So with that said, Andy, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Talking Can. Also Letterboxd at the Talking Can.
Spencer, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BustaSpence, and I think it's on Instagram at BustaSpence11.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic, and you can also follow this channel that distributes the podcast at KHC Network. Thanks, everyone, for joining in this week. Next week, we will be talking about Stephen King's It.
When you're a kid, you think the universe revolves around you. You think that you'll always be protected and cared for. Then, one day, you realize that's not true. Because when you're alone as a kid, the monsters see you as weaker. You don't even know they're getting closer. No! Till it's too late.